Montgomery, chosen over competing bids from Tuscaloosa, Wetumpka, Mobile, Marion, Statesville, Selma, and Huntsville, has been the state capital since 1845. Indeed, was the capital of the Confederacy for 3 months in 1861, before that was moved to Richmond. But it was not always so. Montgomery is our fifth capital. The other four lost capitals are the subject of Lewis's brief, informative book. The first of these was St. Stephen's, capital of the Alabama Territory from 1817 to 1819. 67 miles north of Mobile, the inhabitants of St. Stephen's were described by Land Commissioner Ephraim Kirby in 1804 as, quote, with few exceptions, illiterate, wild, and savage, of depraved morals unworthy of private confidence and public esteem, litigious, disunited, and, knowing each other, universally distrustful of each other, end quote. Nevertheless, a capital was constructed and creation of Washington Academy, Alabama's first educational institute, was approved. The capital was moved in 1819 temporarily to Huntsville. St. Stephen's receded into the wilderness. In Huntsville, the first state constitution was created. Regarded as liberal for its time, it allowed universal white male suffrage, no property or military service requirements. Lewis reminds us Huntsville did not collapse when no longer the capital, but did suffer more than any other city in Alabama from repeated occupation by Union forces during the Civil War. Old Cahaba served as state capital from 1820 to 1824. For a while, it thrived. Inns, taverns, and boarding houses were opened in anticipation of the incoming legislators. The Arch Street Hotel boasted, quote, the finest liquors. The most remarkable event in Cahaba's tenure as capital was the visit of Lafayette, hero of the American Revolution. The stupendous celebration cost $20,000, about 20% of the state budget for the year 1825. Cahaba during this period boasted 1,000 citizens, Montgomery about 600. But Cahaba was remote and occasionally flooded. So on December 13, 1825, the seat of government was moved. Cahaba went into decline, but prospered again in the 1840s and 50s. Dallas County, with its giant cotton plantations, was the wealthiest county in the state and one of the top five counties nationwide. The war ended that. From 1826 to 1846, Tuscaloosa was the state capital. Previously unknown to me, the first white inhabitant of Tuscaloosa was, almost, Davy Crockett. He meant to settle here in 1814, but his horses escaped in Jones Valley. He fell ill chasing them, and after being nursed back to health in Bessemer, returned to Tennessee. Tuscaloosa grew anyway. The population in 1820 was about 6,000 white and 2,300 black. A traveler, William H. Ely, reported of the inhabitants of Tuscaloosa in 1821 that they were, quote, thoughtless in their dress and prone to heavy drinking. The teachers were ignorant and immoral. Much of the white population was extremely indolent, too lazy to work or even think. Lewis notes Ely was from New England. In spite of this rusticity and crudeness, Tuscaloosa was known then as the literary capital of Alabama and the hub of Alabama society. After the capital was moved to Montgomery, the university helped Tuscaloosa avoid the fate of St. Stephen's and Cahaba. But the students, mainly planters' sons in these halls of ivy, were described by historian James Sellers as armed with, quote, dirks, pistols, and bowie knives, end quote, and given to violence. One was, quote, expelled for assaulting a professor with a deadly weapon. I am against that.